Well, friends, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, we read this: "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved, that's what we're doing tonight. We're awaiting, eagerly, waiting. That's what Advent is all about, waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. And to celebrate that first coming, his first advent into our world, the event we celebrate, of course, as Christmas Day. Now, it's not as if God hadn't come down before from heaven to earth. Of course not. God came and walked with Adam and Eve. We've talked about that in the morning in the garden. God came and dwelt with his people Israel in the sanctuary, then the temple. And God came and made numerous veiled appearances to all kinds of Old Testament characters that many of us know by name: Jacob and Moses, Elijah, for a few of the examples. God advented into our world a lot, but never as the Word made flesh, never as a 100% flesh and blood person, as well as 100% God in the person of Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He appeared as a tiny baby in the womb of his mother and then was delivered unto this earth, our earth. The glory of that was what generation after generation of God's people were awaiting, were waiting for. They were waiting confidently, hopefully, patiently. They waited for that advent, that first coming of God in the flesh, of God the Messiah, who would usher in his kingdom for all his kingdom's citizens. Now, they didn't know that's necessarily what they were waiting for. Probably in their wildest dreams, they didn't think of something so incredible as that, so glorious as that. They were waiting for an earthly king, a Messiah, the son of David, the great king, a Messiah would restore them, the people of Israel, to greatness. And then there he was, living, moving, breathing, coughing, clearing his throat, speaking, teaching, training, then suffering and dying and rising and then ascending. His first coming, glorious, for he forgave sins in their totality for all who believe. He promised life in eternity for all who believe. Now, fast forward, of course, 2,000 years, the generations gathered here tonight, we have joined the wait. For just like that first generation who witnessed it all and who wanted him back after he ascended, we want him back too. Weren't you thrilled this past week when you read or you heard about those missionaries who had been abducted, that they were all safe and sound now? We wanted them back, and their families wanted them back, and Christians around the globe who were praying for them wanted them back. And when you heard it, the words surely were glorious to hear. They're free. They're safe. They're coming back. Such an answer to so many prayers over these last 2 months. They're back. Beloved, we want Jesus back like that. At least that much, but probably more, don't we? And we know there was no abduction of Jesus. Jesus left us and left us with his Holy Spirit in us for our good, so he could reign on behalf of his bride, the church, so he could exercise his power that enables him to bring everything under control, his control. And think of it. One of the first things he did, probably as he finished his work on the cross, was to secure our citizenship in heaven, so that we could join the great wait for him to come back. We join the wait, and because we have, we can say with the psalmist, like in Psalm 27, I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Wait for the Lord. Take heart. We can say with the psalmist, like in Psalm 38, Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, Lord my God. Beloved, do you hear the confidence from the psalmist? We wait with that kind of confidence. The church waits with confidence like that. We can say with the psalmist, like in Psalm 33, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help, our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. We can say with the psalmist, like in Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Beloved, do you hear the hope? We wait with that kind of hope, sure hope. The bride waits with hope like that. And we can say with the psalmist, like in Psalm 37, be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. We can say with the psalmist, like in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Beloved, do you hear the patience? We wait with that kind of patience. The body of Christ waits with patience like that. Beloved, we've joined the wait because Jesus made us citizens of heaven. So we eagerly await the same Savior who came the first time, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've joined the wait. And we wait confidently. We will see Jesus. And we wait hopefully, for until he comes, he's our help, our shield, because he loves us with unfailing love. And we wait patiently, through the best times, but also the worst times, through the good times, but also through the times when evil people carry out evil schemes, even evil schemes directed against the church, God's people, you and me. We've joined the wait, and during that wait, we are confident, hopeful, and patient. For we know this rock-solid truth, the one we are waiting for, is coming again, and everything is under his control. And now let this glorious thought usher us into our time of celebration for Christ's first coming. This same Jesus, we don't know when, but we know it will happen. The one who comes will transform our human bodies, our injured bodies, our deformed bodies, our disabled bodies, our grief-stricken bodies, our COVID-vulnerable bodies, our cancer-susceptible bodies, our aging bodies, our cognitive-declining bodies, our calcium-deficient bodies, our shrinking bodies, our collagen-decreasing bodies, our weak bodies, our deteriorating bodies, our wasting away bodies, our frail, fragile, failing, fainting, and non-flourishing bodies. The one who comes, Jesus, who advents in that second and final time, will transform those lowly bodies of ours so that they will be just like his glorious body. Like his glorious body. This is true, we read in 1 Peter, even though all people right now are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Despite that, this is true, Peter tells us, because it is the word of the Lord that endures forever. And the word of the Lord says to us, Jesus is coming back, and he has the power, and he will use it to transform our lowly bodies so that they will be just like his glorious body. Isn't that glorious? This is the one we celebrate as we sing our Christmas carols tonight. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that in Jesus Christ, we have the one who not only advented into our world the first time and went to the cross and was raised mightily from the dead and was given all authority and power and might, everything under his control, so that one day he would return again. He would advent in a second time, a final time, and usher in a new heavens and new earth, yes, but also transform our lowly bodies into ones like his glorious body. Thank you that that is our hope, our sure hope, and we are confident, and we are hopeful, and we patiently wait. In Jesus' name,